Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
All right, well, you could say that maybe the image of the gangster, the history of the gangster, has been romanticized a bit in pop culture with, say, the Mafia and the Godfather, or even the Sopranos.
Are you aware of how many things a f***ing MD can do for us?
Sorry, Godfather. He was in the game. I thought he was just another pigeon.
Who authorized you to do it? And don't call me Godfather with that f***ing cute smirk.
You might also think of celebrity gangsters, like, say, John Dillinger.
This desperate public enemy now rises to fame as an underworld hero. Arrogant. That expression in his eyes. The welcome accorded to a vicious man-killer.
So how do you curate an actually true, uncensored history of violence and crime? We head to the Museum of the American Gangster in New York for this audio postcard, where it is marking its first anniversary.
I think that you scratch the best of us, and you find the potential gangster, and you scratch the worst gangster, and you'll find a person with great human potential. My name's Lorcan Otway. I'm a member of the Religious Society of Friends, a Quaker, plain Quaker, and many people are somewhat confused by the fact that I also run the Museum of the American Gangster. Here at the Museum of the American Gangster, you'll see a Thompson submachine gun, the actual bullets from the St. Valentine's Day Massacre, bottle of Old Log Cabin whiskey, Bugs Moran's label. We have the original newspaper from the day of the St. Valentine's Day Massacre. And this is some of our large collection of sheet music from the time. It's the smart little feller who stocked up his cellar that's getting all the beautiful girls.
The fella who stocked up his cellar that's getting the beautiful girls.
When I was 10, my father bought an old nightclub that had been a speakeasy, and we actually bought it from the gangsters that ran it during Prohibition. Here we are behind the bar of the speakeasy, underneath the museum. Back during Prohibition, you could not get here from the street. You'd come through a butcher shop into the alley, be let through a door, and find in here the lights of New York politics with the likes of Al Capone.
But Mary and Alice will pass up the Dukes.
Very often I'm accused of glamorizing the institution of organized crime in America, until people actually come to the museum. In America, we keep struggling, all political parties. Rather than glamorizing it, I put it in the context of American history and how much our society is shaped both by gangsterism and the reaction to it. Because we are a society always divided between moral certainty and liberty, from the selling of alcohol to the denial of that. We have this struggle between the laws that say thou shalt not and the Americans who say, yes, but I was born to liberty, I have a complete right to. That's what defines me as an American. Al Capone was an extraordinarily generous person. He did horrible things. But he also, for example, spent $10,000 to hire the best surgeon possible to save the eye of a woman, total stranger, who was wounded in a drive-by when Bugs Moran was trying to kill him. But he also did vile, vile things. And to see the complexity of every one of us and see it as part of the story of American history, I think it makes us better tuned to act better in the future.
Lorcan Otway is the curator of the Museum of the American Gangster in New York. They're celebrating their first anniversary there.